Knowledge above mortality is knowledge proper. Mundane knowledge has no value, for it does not endure. We must inquire elsewhere for permanent knowledge. Real knowledge is stable, it has a firm foundation, and Vedic education deals with how to acquire that knowledge. The meaning of the word Veda is know. No rhyme or reason is shown why you should know, and no explanation is given, simply know.
Just I want to say something about, so he's saying means know in the imperative sense of the word, like know, like now hear this, you should hear this, know this and understand this. So he said no rhyme or reason is being given. So as an example, Guru Maharaj will say in the Vedas with reference to the Vaman avatar, says Adbhutakram, just he of wonderful stride. All the details of that are not given there. That pastime is not described there or anything. Just mentions one way he's known is Adbhutakram, he of wonderful stride, of wonderful movement. It's a sutra-like expression. But where we hear the details are in the Puranas. So this is very interesting because generally we'll take it that Veda, the Rig Veda and Vedas, and these are the oldest scriptures in the world, right? There, nothing predates that, right? So once we were talking to a scholar in Moscow about this, and the conspicuous by its absence in Vedic literature are dates, right? Sometimes an author will put at the end of a work this, and even in a codified, encrypted way, like Kaviraj Goswami, something like Guru Maharaj explained that system. Ratna can mean five, or you know, like what can mean tri ratna, pancha ratna, navaratna. It can mean different things, and they give some date. This work was completed, but what I meant to say is, as I discovered at the book fair in Calcutta once, remember the annual English, well, it was many books, but it's actually one of the largest book fairs in the world. And so I found this book on written by a historian that with the way they used to do things in England, if something had like the imprimatur of, you know, Her Royal Highness or the Majesty, it would be put in the beginning of a book if you had been commissioned to do that. And he was a historian writing back to his comrades in England, and he said, the way we approach history is not the way they approach history here. And what he meant by that, or alluded to, was I had a history teacher, and she said once, the sum total of Western history can be, encapsulated in one word, booty. And that means the spoils of having conquered someone, the money, the land, the women, all of these things are what originally constituted that. So if you look at Western history, as I would joke sometimes with Madhu Priya Didi, who's Greek, I'd say, her ancestors fought in the Peloponnesian War. But, you know, the boast of heraldry, the pomp of power, all that beauty, all that wealth ever gave, awaits alike the inevitable hour, the paths of glory lead but to the grave. So whether it's the Peloponnesian War, or Ozymandias, Ramses, this king, that king, it's all a blur to me now, and to everybody else. And if you try and, if you interview kids on any type of social network about these things, they think it's totally irrelevant to our present situation. They're not so much interested in hearing about these things. We're surprised. Famous world events, as I visit with the teenagers around the world, east and west and north and south, they don't see so much value and remembering these things from long ago. But anyway, that historian, he was writing back, he said, so the way we handle history is at this date, this group invaded this country and defeated them and took all their possessions. And that lasted for 100 or 200 years, and then another group came in. This is what Gromars is saying about the knowledge of this world is, it does not endure. Right? It's of no value after a certain time. Two references are given in the Bhagavatam. One, actually, Maharaj Revata, and another, I forget who it is, but someone approaching Brahma. He goes from his planet, like a middle planetary system, to Satyaloka, Bhur-Bhuva, Sva, what is it? Bhur-Bhuva, Sva, Jana, Tapa, Satya, the different planetary systems. So he's going from the gross plane of existence into the subtle plane of existence. What do we hear in Bhagavad Gita? Abrahma Bhuvanal Loka Punar Avartunarjuna. All of them are temporary. In the Bhagavatam, it's further described. Avirinchi Amangalam. Even Brahma, in his position, he has to deal with what is amangal, inauspiciousness. Right? So, someone, he went to Brahma from the middle planetary systems to Satyaloka, topmost in the upper planetary systems, where we get a hint of the time difference in Bhagavad Gita. Right? Sahasra yuga parjantam ahuryat brahmano vidu. Sahasra yuga, 1,000 yuga cycles here makes one day of Brahma. So 12 hours. One day of Brahma, 4,300,000,000 years. Right? Add to another 12, so 8,600,000,000 years. A day of Brahma. Talk about jet lag. Right? So anyway, he goes to that planetary system. He's there, and when he arrives, Brahma is being entertained by some heavenly dancing girls. And so he's informed, when the dance is through, then Brahma will see you and answer your questions and address your necessity. 15 minutes or so. You can wait something. So he waits for 15 minutes. We know from the Brahma Vimohan Leela that it was just a moment when all of this transpired. But that moment was a year of Earth. It was Balaram's birthday, so he was absent. He didn't find out till a year later. The Vishwanathana, they're explaining these things, the Bhagavatam commentators. That a year had gone by. Why? The difference. Moment on Brahmaloka, a year here. So in this 15 minutes, then Brahma at the dance is finished, and Brahma says, oh, forgive me, you know, for neglecting you. How may I help you? And the man said, oh, those people I wanted you to help and those circumstances, That was hundreds of thousands of years ago. It's all gone now. That's what to speak of here. And the world, when we live in the time of planned obsolescence. I first heard that when in the 1960s. Before that, we were given things in containers, like a milk bottle, like in England. They'd have the, what are they called? Gold seal?
Gold top.
Bottles of milk. Top 2 inches are cream, solid cream. And the milkman would deliver them. Then they told us, no, now we're going to introduce plastic. And these, you just throw them away. It took the people a while to get used to this type of culture. Just throw it away.
You mean they don't have milk bottles anymore?
He's been gone a long time.
I'm well gone, man.
People have said that. No, so what I mean is I remember the resistance in the beginning. They thought, no, maybe you can cut it and put some flowers in that. They go, no, you just throw it away. Throw it in the garbage. And it's good for everybody. It's good for the world. It's good for you. You know, they had to convince people to do this. So what do we hear in the Bhagavad Gita? The demoniac who are lost to themselves engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. But the real irony is it's always produced or introduced in the name of being a good thing. It'll be good for every, good for the world. Then now we have, what did we see in the news? Clusters, ugly clusters of giant clusters of garbage floating in the major oceans of the world. Some of these are big as a country, as big as, you know, the state of Texas, just floating in the ocean, planned obsolescence, right? The temporal. So people wonder sometimes, well, if these cultures were so advanced, you know, now we have so much technology and they didn't seem to have that and they seem on certain levels primitive in comparison because of a difference in emphasis. Like we've heard Prabhupada invoke the aphorism, simple living, high thinking. So the intelligence was used for internal culture, not for external improvement. So we shouldn't be deceived by the simplicity, the relative simplicity of the environment. So Srila Guru Maharaj is saying, try and refocus on what is substantial. That's what he means by knowledge above mortality. Like in the computer world, there are computer languages that software developers have to learn. But it's even in a short time, it's changed so many times, someone might find that the language they spent, you know, endless hours of their lives, years of their lives, learning and mastering, is now, in a relatively short time, obsolete. Right? It must necessarily be that way. That's the nature of temporal existence. That's why, as people grow older, they feel irrelevant. Right? Because what they know seems to lack relevance in the present world or situation. It's changed so much. Right. So, knowledge above mortality, what does that mean? That means on the eternal plane. How will you get that knowledge? So I said originally, here's how. When we mention Purana, he of wonderful stride, reference to Vaman avatar. The Puranas, Guru Maharaj said, two things are important to understand about that.
One meaning of Purana is to fulfill. They're going to, sometimes they're called supplementary Vedic literature. What wasn't fully delineated in the Vedas is going to be more comprehensively expressed in the Puranas. And another meaning of, so that's in the sense of fulfill, Purana. But another meaning is old, right? Like that famous sloka, Advaitam Achyutam Anari Anantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. Adyam Purana Purusham, Purana Purusham, the oldest person. Right? If we stick to knowledge in the mortal world, oh, the oldest person, they'll always shine like, the oldest person in the world died today, and it's some very old and withered, and maybe they have a long beard or something like that. No, knowledge above mortality. Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. Although he's the oldest person, he's Navayovana. He's eternally youthful and beautiful, ever fresh, ever green. Right? Navakishore. Right? When Mahaprabhu meets Raghupati Upadhyay. In three slokas, everything. That's from. This is what comes from the heart of a devotee. We can, oh, there's so many books to read. There's so many slokas. In three slokas, Raghupati Upadhyay is delivering all the goods. Barabahi, Saragrahi, Bhaktivinoda's term. We can carry around the weight of all the scriptures. So many books, so many thousands. You know, Mahabharata is a lakh, 100,000 slokas. Right? Gayatri Basa Rupo Sho, Vedarta Paribringhita. Right? Bhagavat, the Gayatri Basya, Gayatri 1, and the Bhagavatam expounding on that. So, when I think, oh, Adyam, so Raghupati Upadhyay, Mahaprabhu says them, what is the best age of Krishna? Saying, Deyam, Baya Kaishorakam Deyam, Adyo Rasa Raso Vara, Kishore, the eternally fresh youth, not Krishna. So Purana here means older in what sense? If the Rig Veda, if the Vedas, they're the oldest known scriptures, why give this attribute Purana? Gurumar said in this way, the Puranas have information from previous creations. Think about that. That means they have information that predates the Vedas, which are the oldest and the first scriptures. So they have knowledge from previous creations. There are some sages who, they lived in the previous creation, or one before that. There are many pastimes that have taken place. So they may be telling us, the Puranas, they may have a pastime that occurred in another creation. But Jiva Goswami gives the Kalpado explanation why in the third canto or second canto Srimad Bhagavatam Varaha avatar is described, and two pastimes have been from different times have been combined as one. That's also possible with the Supreme Reality. So, knowledge above mortality, Guru Maharaj is telling us, we want to connect with the eternal plane. That's the whole purpose of revealed truth, of coming in connection with Krishna consciousness. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat neha bikramanasho sti pratyavyo navidyate. And a little bit of connection with this is of infinitely more valuable than than oceans of mundane knowledge or data, information transfer. Right? Yes.
So continuing the reading, because doubt is absent in the spiritual plane, no cheating is possible. It is a simple, direct transaction. No, with K, K-N-O-W, no. In that transcendental plane, everyone is a confidential friend, and they are stainless in their conduct. No cheating tendency is possible there, so there is no suspicion.
In another place, he gave an example about that. Because ultimately, it's the plane of love and affection. He's saying, so if you're actually dealing with the ultimate plane of love and affection, there cannot be any lingering doubts or suspicion. And he compared it, he said, to a child being, nourished by the mother thinking, instead of the child thinking, oh, maybe this breast milk is poison. He said, then what an unfortunate situation you're in. As that is unthinkable, that the mother would poison a child, then there's a plane, Veda Mata, the mother Veda nourishing everyone with, in this way, in a loving, affectionate way that's beyond doubt or suspicion. And Guru Maharaj would sometimes say in one of his aphorisms, suspicion leads to suspension. So he's saying, meaning, it is Shraddha Mayoyam Loka. Kaviraj Goswami defines faith as saying, Shraddha Shabde Bishwasa Kohe Sudridha Nishchoy Krishna Bhakti Koile Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. Right? What is faith? The belief that there is a plane where this type of transaction is taking place. That's what here being described here. Someone can say, oh, you're putting too much trust, too much faith. No, that's a fact. But shall we deny the possibility of a plane where this is the nature of the transaction? It's beyond doubt, beyond suspicion, beyond being, poisoned by ulterior motive. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadyanavritam anukulyena krishnano shilanam bhaktirutama. Oh, so suspicion leads to suspension. So that faith that we have, if we become suspicious, or the intellect tries to analyze a faith transaction, then doubt appears, that disturbs faith, and faith is our only access to this plane. So he says, Shrabde Shabde Vishvasa Kohe Sudrida Nishchoy Krishna Bhakti Koile Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. Faith is about believing that there's this one place, this one plane connecting with all my needs, all my necessities are met. Right? And that's a grand advertisement. Any example is there to show its possibility? Yeah. Yata taror mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujo pashaka. As you pour water on the root of a tree, all the trunk, through the trunk, the branches, the twigs, the leaves are nourished. So it is possible by focusing all one's energy in one place that all nourishment can be gathered. He said, or as by putting food in the stomach, that all the body is nourished. That's the idea. No need to go separately to try and meet our necessities or obligations.
So there is no suspicion. Here we are in the plane of misunderstanding and doubt. So we want to examine everything. We are living in a vulnerable and vitiated plane where people cheat one another. We cannot rely on others, for they may deceive us. But where cheating is unknown, transactions are very simple and straightforward. So, no reason is given for Now the question arises, how to attain that sort of true, comprehensive, and non-deceptive knowledge? In the Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Krishna says, Tadviddi pranipatina pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. Quote, to learn knowledge above mortality, you must approach a self-realized soul, accept him as your spiritual master, and take initiation from him. Inquire submissively and render service unto him. Self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you, for they have seen the truth. Close quote.
Another point. Guru Maharaj will remind us, the rishis, on this, jnanina tattva-darshi, tattva-darshina, darshina, darshi, drishi, means to see, to experience, to observe. He points out, they don't use the word srishti, creator, and the sense, like we'll hear of an author, they created this work. It's a product of their imagination, or as one writer said, adventures of the intelligence. Right? That's not what the Vedic rishis are presenting, but rather their, Guru says, the mantram is coming, passing through their consciousness into this plane. Their perception of the higher reality is passing through their consciousness into this plane. So they're observers. That's the meaning of rishi, drishi, who are seeing and experiencing the truth, and they're transmitting that. I find it interesting in Bhagavad Gita that we know so many scholars outside of India, they also appreciate the work. People you could call, I mean, they wouldn't be insulted if you said they were rational thinkers. So they appreciate the substance of Bhagavad Gita. But interestingly, one of the indicators that the substance of it is so overwhelming is that they don't challenge the method of its revelation, how it's been delivered. The method of delivery they haven't challenged. And what do we hear in the very beginning when Dhritarashtra is speaking to Sanjaya? Sanjaya, he's not on the battlefield, right? He says in the end of Bhagavad Gita, Vyasa Prashada Shrutavan. By the mercy of Vyas, I heard this. That's what he says. He didn't say, I was an eyewitness. I was there, I saw the whole thing, and I'm telling you, that's not what he says. Vyasa prashadach shrutavan. By the mercy of Vyas, I heard this divine conversation. So right there, they could dismiss the whole thing and say, why should we listen to him? He wasn't even there. How do we know that what he's saying is accurate? That it's true, that it's factual. Right? All these things that are normally of such concern. Why is the method not being challenged? Because of the overwhelming presence of substance, so that anyone who reads Bhagavad Gita, they will see something substantial there. So the method of delivery becomes irrelevant in the presence of the substance. That's the point.
We have to approach the domain of knowledge with self-surrender, honest inquiry, and a serving attitude. We have to approach that plane with the mentality of slavery. Higher knowledge will not serve a person of lower status. If we want perfect knowledge at all, we will have to serve the Supreme Lord. He will use us for His own purpose, and not that we will use Him. We may be subjects in this mundane world, but we will have to become objects to be handled by the super knowledge of that plane.
So, in the Western idea, you approach the teacher, you go to the university, wherever, and the idea is to get some knowledge that's going to do what? To serve you. Right? I mean, they say this openly, right? That's the whole idea, that education, it will serve you, it will serve your interests. Right? You'll get a good job, you'll make good money. Good job, good money. Right? And you'll have a good life, la dolce vita, the sweet, good life you'll get. That knowledge is going to deliver this for you. Get an education. Right? That's the idea. Right? That's the Western idea. The Eastern idea is the inversion. If this will be extended to you, this awareness, this consciousness, this understanding, then you, and out of gratitude or appreciation, shall offer yourself in service to that. It's a very different idea. You shall become a servant to that higher knowledge. And servant, again, is a more generous rendering. This word that Guru Maharaj uses, in modern context, people would, you know, be apoplectic. He's saying slavery. They go, whoa, we got rid of slavery, you know, hundreds of years ago. That, as the British said, you know, observing Gaudiya Math, they're talking about divine slavery. That's the degradation of a human being. And Saraswati Thakur's answer, he said, no, Gaudiya Math stands for the dignity of the human race. So on this point, if you're coming in connection with something higher, what to speak of infinitely higher, what should be your relationship? Equals? Or shall it be, it's infinitely higher, so that's what Guru Maharaj means by daring to use this word, slavery, meaning you have to understand this much, that which is infinitely higher than you has your interest more at heart than you yourself do. And we can say, well, that's really patronizing. Yes, unless it's true. Unless it's true. If we are covered, if we can accept, and even by a rational analysis, I think we can, that our actual identity is buried under layers of acquired prejudice and acquired tendency, sometimes called sangskar, right? Then, how can we know what really is our self-interest? Our self is being pervertedly expressed through misconceived self-interest. So without uncovering, discovering all of these layers of acquired prejudice, acquired tendency, how can we really truly know what is in our self-interest? Now we're back to knowledge above mortality, knowledge beyond acquired interest, knowledge beyond acquired tendency. That penetrating that, it can awaken one to your actual self-interest. Right? When Mahaprabhu was going through Jharkhanda, right, on his way to Vrindavan, we read, what? That the elephants, first he meets a tiger sleeping on the footpath. And what is, he kicks the tiger with his foot playfully, then slaps him on the face. And the Mahaprabhu's devotees are like, oh no. They're thinking, he's so lost in divine madness, now he's slapping tigers. You know, not good. But the tiger, the Mahaprabhu, like we have to accept the love tap. This is a prem tap. He taps that tiger and says, chant Hare Krishna. And the tiger, it penetrates the layers and layers of tiger covering, coating, ego, body. That's what it is. It's just the covering of the soul. Mahaprabhu's tap and vibration is so fine. It penetrates all those layers and awakens that tiger. Swaropena Vibhastiti. To his act, Krishnara Nityadas. Jive Swarupai Krishnara Nityadas. Krishnadas. So that tiger begins to dance and take Krishna Nam. He's awakened to that plane. Similar thing happens, but Mahaprabhu splashes water on the elephants. Same thing. His his love and affection, in the form of his supreme will to distribute love and affection to them, penetrates these layers. Right? It's only, bhumirapo analo vayu kamano bhudhirevacha ahankar. All of these are just coverings. He's penetrating that, awakening the actual self, the actual soul, to its identity and prospect. Right? So that which is not only higher, but infinitely higher. What shall be the method of our approach? To offer ourselves. Sarva. What does Jiva Goswami say? You know, Dina Shraya. Bhajaniya Sarvasad Guna Vishishta. If you appreciate substantially Krishna, not as something abstract, foreign, but actually the correspondent to what the heart is actually searching for, the beauty of the Nama Rupa Guna Lila, the beauty of Krishna, his qualities, Achintya Guna Swarupam, his inconceivably wonderful, enchanting qualities, then the natural outcome will be to offer oneself in service. That's the compulsion. Not to try to acquire, control, and consume Krishna. Many times Guru Maharaj would say, although Krishna is, he's Rasaraj. There's a famous Bengali sweet called Rasaraj. He's saying he's not like a sweet ball you just throw in your mouth and then relish all the sweetness. But by offering yourself to Krishna, ye yatam mam prapadyante tam stateva bhajamyaham, then Krishna will reciprocate that. As we told the other day, Guru Maharaj saying, give heart and receive heart. Have a heart to heart transaction. Give heart, love and affection to Krishna. What comes back? Infinite love and affection. Although ostensibly saying reciprocal, that will be to a reciprocal degree. Your love and affection will be reciprocated. That's on one level, right? In the most general sense. But we find in the Bhagavatam, in the famous sloka in the Gopi Gita, Napareham Niravajasam Bhujam, Krishna tells the Braja Gopis, what you've got in your hearts, I can't reciprocate. It's beyond what I can reciprocate. It's that valuable. Hare Krishna. That's from Krishna himself. He's telling the Braja Gopi. Now I have to break my rule. I said in Bhagavad Gita, Yeyatam mam prapadyante tamstadeva bhajamyaham. But now I see in the what you've got in your hearts, I'm not capable of reciprocating that. All I can do is offer myself to you fully. There, so become the slave of Krishna. What is his response? Krishna becomes the slave of his devotee. Unthinkable, practically unspeakable. But the fact, ahang bhakta paradino hyasvan tantra eva dvija. Although by definition the absolute is for himself and by himself, is independent. But in the presence of devotion, it's as if he loses that. And he becomes dependent on the devotee. Krishna becomes the slave of his devotee. We know Bilva Mangal Thakur, that at one point he was blind. But he's right, Krishna Karanamritam. Srila Gurudev liked to chant these slokas and hear them, sometimes in his final days. If I just say the first line, he'll repeat the whole thing. Give another, like, first few syllables, he'll repeat the whole thing, become very happy. But one that he liked very much is just a description of Krishna, the beauty of Krishna. Where it says, Kosturi tilakam lalata palake bakshastle kostubam nashagre namamoktitam venam kare kankanam sarvanga harichandanam chakalayam kante chamuktavalim gopa stri puriveshito vijayate gopala chudamani. He don't always go, gopala chudamani. So that, so beautiful. Mahaprabhu, we're told, two books he collected in South India, right? Brahma Sangita, Karnamritam. And what did he do? When he came back, he shared them with the devotees. Like devotees do. They find some book. They say, this is so beautiful. What's described here? It's so wonderful. What's the first thing they do? They go to another devotee and tell them that. Oh, Prabhu, you've got to read this. It's so beautiful how Krishna is described. And then one devotee would copy, another devotee would copy. We're also continuing that tradition. Really, it's a very beautiful thing. Like Mahaprabhu has come, like he's in Bhakta Bhav. He wants to share this with other devotees. How beautiful, and who else? With Srup Damodar, Ramananda. Gurudev liked to quote those slokas that appear in maybe two, three sections of Charitamritam, saying, how did Mahaprabhu spend the last 12 years in Puri? The last 12. Behind closed doors with two people. Ramananda Roy, Srup Damodar. And doing what? Gita Govinda, Krishna Karnamritam, Jagannath Ballabha Natak, and so on, Vidyapati and Chandidas. Did I leave one out? Yeah. Anyway, listening to this behind closed doors, that tells us something too. With who? Srup Damodar Ramananda. Mahaprabhu tells Pradyumna Misra, and he said, I'd like to hear some Krishna katha from you. And Mahaprabhu, Krishna katha janina. I don't know Krishna katha. Radha Govinda Milita Tanu. He's Radha and Krishna combined. He's saying, I don't know topics of Krishna. What can that possibly mean? How can he say that? He said, but you're very fortunate that you want to hear these things, but you should go to Ramananda and hear from him. I heard from Ramananda Krishna Katha, and I'm very satisfied. And I advise the same to you. There's Ek Ramananda. If he had some doubt, we're hearing some doubt, suspicion leads to suspension. If we doubt this is the matter here. If we doubt that such a plane possibly exists, then we're self-condemned. And we think, Krishna, we're sincere to meet Krishna, and he won't reciprocate that. And ironically, we've presented ourselves to so many cheaters in this world. Right? We hear from Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji, from all the great, what is this world? The cheaters and the cheated. What did he used to say? Whole world is just a bunch of thieves. Right? Back to the booty. Right? Thieves, stealing. So cheaters and the cheated. So we've presented ourselves so many times openly, fully embrace someone to cheat us. But then when we actually come in connection with Krishna's agent, we'll say, no, I learned my lesson. Then we won't present ourselves. That's the time we have so many concerns, so many doubts, so many suspicions. Right? That Krishna will cheat us. And if Krishna cheats us, that's also good. He's the absolute good, autocrat, despot, and liar. If you're going to be cheated by somebody, then pick Krishna. Then you'll get some benefit. If that's his supreme will, his supreme desire. That's the Brajagopi's mood. Right? Why Krishna had that headache in Dwaraka? Once the artists were showing paintings to Prabhupada for approval, and he goes, he'd look, you know, what is this one? Because he'd be gone for a year, come back, and they go, oh, this one, and like, oh, okay, next. What is this one? This is, okay. Then they show this, and there's a picture of Krishna, like, and Prabhupada said, what is this? And they said, Krishna is sad. Krishna is not sad. He's like, you know, and so he's thinking like how to say, like that time the man to Srup Damodar gives the improper sloka. Now Prabhupada's saying how to save the situation. They already made this painting. He said, you can call it Krishna has a headache. Because we think, well, Krishna shouldn't get a headache, but that's a pastime. Like, okay. Why? Because he wants Narada Bhakti Sutra, Narada who knows everything, Narada who's been everywhere, Narada who's seen every devotee there is, to observe something, as he sent Uddhava to Vrindavan, to observe something, right? Rishi, to observe and then transmit on the basis of that observation. So he said, yes, Krishna has a headache, and says, no, only the feet dust of a devotee, their foot dust, will cure it. So Narada's on a mission from God, goes to the queens of Dwaraka. He said, Krishna has a headache, suffering severely. He says, he needs the feet thus from a devotee to cure himself. And none of the queens want to do that. They're saying, take the dust from our feet. Have you lost your mind? This cannot be a good idea. And if it is, you're a devotee. You're Narada. You're a great devotee. Give your feet dust. Goes back to see it. Krishna, you've got no one's prepared to give. Oh, I'm suffering so much. Go to Braja. Sarvadharmam Parichaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Braja Sharanam. Go to Braja. And he goes to Vrindavan. The gopi, they're very, you know, it's a Narad Muni isn't in Vrindavan every damn, maybe. Anyway, they're saying, oh, they want to know about Krishna and Dwarka. Does he still remember us and our pastimes? They're very simple-hearted village girls. They're thinking, now he's with all these sophisticated women in the big city. Does he ever remember girls like us? That's how they think. They're not thinking, oh, we've been declared as the greatest devotees ever. No. They're very humble. They're the humblest. Does he ever think about us? Or remember or mention us? Anything? No, actually, yeah. But right now, he's suffering like anything. And supreme migraine. And told, oh, the dust from a devotee will cure that. This is what we mean when we're talking about faith and devotion. Leave your intellect at the door, your mind. They will not help you navigate this plane. Gyane prayasam udapasanamanta eva. Why tadvidi pranipatena? Because what's the highest aspect? The head, the intellect. You have to bow that to the least aspect of this plane. Whatever is considered the highest here, that has to dive down, go to the least aspect of that plane. Vaikuntir prithivyari sakala chinmoy. So he's telling them, needs feet dust from a devotee to cure his headache. And what are the gopis saying? I don't know if I'm a devotee, but take my feet dust. And if there's some possibility Krishna could be cured from that, I'll be happy. And wait, if you're not devotee, and that is a great offense, you'll go to eternal hell from that. And they're saying, yeah, but Krishna, there's some possibility that he will get relief. That's my only concern. If I have to go to hell for, all right. Narayana Purak Sarve Nakutashana Bibhyati Swargapavarg Narakeshu Tulyartha Darshina. When Shiva's sitting with a group of sages and he has Parvati on his lap. Imagine that. Or don't imagine it. Right? Some of those sages, you know, they don't have a problem with that. Shiva is divine, Parvati is goddess. He's sitting with her in his lap and they're having spiritual discussion. It's beyond what we're ready to digest, for sure. But who's flying in his airplane? Chitraketu. This is a significant turning point in the Bhagavatam, in the sixth canto. It's going to set the stage for Prahlad Maharaj and Shuddha Bhakti. But that Chitraketu, as the pastime would have it, right, is playing a part, a role. The pastimes are cast and scripted by, you know, scripted and cast by Baladev and Yogamaya. Who's competent to play these roles? They're extraordinary devotees. But anyway, Chitraketu comes by in his heavenly airplane, seeing this and going, shameless. Look, he's sitting with this goddess in the presence of these sages. Have you no shame? And Parvati is upset. Don't upset the goddess. That's also a rule we kind of... Shiva, this, you know... But she can't tolerate her lord being insulted this way. And she said, you can go to hell now. Whew. Plane, he's done, finished. But before he leaves, he's saying, Jai, Devi. And what is it saying? Narayana Puraksarve Nokutashtana Vibhati. And perhaps Mahadev saying, just see the devotees. What is their nature? He doesn't care for Swargapavarg, Narakeshu, Tulyarta. Doesn't care about going to hell, heaven, hell, this place, that place. He's only interested in service. Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Ba, Jagadisha, Kame, Mama, Janmani, Janmani, Shure, Bhavatat, Bhakti, Rahoi, Tuki, Toi. Mahaprabhu, Guru Maharaj, I'm not interested in money, men, buildings. What good are your money, men, and buildings? I want to be a servitor of Mahaprabhu. Can you help me with that? Seva dear. Sangsaresmin kanadopi satsanga seva dear ninam. This is the real treasure to be gathered in life, in existence. We could be in a plane that's knocked out of the sky. Right? That can happen to anyone at any moment. One minute you're reading about it, next minute you're being read about. Right? We should not be deceived by a false sense of security in a world we've just described here in what we're reading and what we're discussing as a moment when compared to eternal time. So what do we hear? That in the Bhagavatam, toward the conclusion, that those, like we say, Sukritivan, those with advanced intelligence and understanding, it's mentioned, and even in the higher planets, they seek a birth in the Kali Yuga, which, from mundane estimation, from a rational analysis, should be the worst time. I remember when we were newly connected, the Krishna Consciousness Movement, it was common for the devotees to glorify the Satya Yuga. And sometimes fantasy, you know, like, oh, it must have been so nice, Satya Yuga. You know, they're saying everybody's Krishna conscious. You know, the pure environment. And Guru Maharaj said, first of all, that it was a spiritually pervasive atmosphere. That's true. But what was their understanding? We're talking about Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So as he would say, Vedas deal mainly with Brahma, then Paramatma, and he said a hint of Bhagavan. So anyway, he said, those who are in the know, they don't desire to take birth in the Satya Yuga. The sloka in the Bhagavatam says no. Rather, they who are in the know, they want to be born in the Kali Yuga. Kalotad Hari Kirtanat, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, Sango Pangastra Parshadam, Yagye Sankirtana Praye, Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. This yagya they want to do. They don't want to sit around going Svaha. They want to do Harinam, Nam Sankirtan. Nam Sankirtan Kalo Parama Upai. You get everything through sound culture, this Krishna Nam. So this opportunity, as Gurma said, in this particular Kali Yuga, the king has come to do the work of the magistrate. What does he mean? The magistrate here means Yuga Avatar. So there's the Mahaprabhu in every Kali Yuga. But this one, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, this is, he's giving, in Guru Maharaj's word, express elevator or express train to the goal, special train, no stops. The Bhur Bhuva Svata Mahar Jana Tapasatya, Biroja, Shiva Loka, Vaikun, he said, special, express, non-stop, to the highest position. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. Yata yata gorapadara vinde vinde ta bhaktim krita punyarasi tatat tatot sarputi hridya kasmat radha padambojas sudamburasi. On that sloka, Guru Maharaj says it very, once he said, get on the plane in New York, get off in Delhi. So he said, through the gate of Gaur Leela, enter Krishna Leela. Through the gate of Navadvip, enter Vrindavan. What is the Nam Sankirtan, Sankirtan Mahaprabhu and his devotees, his associates, the Rasa Leela in distribution mode. This is Mahavadanaya Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He can do that. Give the highest thing, bring it down to the very lowest position. So those in the know, the Sukritivan, Sumedasa, those of refined theistic intellect, will say, oh, this Kali Yuga, we'll get the best opportunity there. Hare Krishna. Can you sing Hari Harai?
If you wish.
I wish.
You wish.
I wish. It is my wish.
Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Madhava.
Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Madhavaya
Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan.
Gopal Govinda Ram Shri
Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Shri Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Chanda. Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Rupa Sanatana Bhata Raghunatha. Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raghunatha. Chai Gosai Kori Charana Vandan. Yaha Hoite Vigna Nasha Vishta Puran. Chai Gosai Charmu Itarada. Bhakta Sanevan. Shai Gosai Jabe Braja Koilaba.
Haribol, Haribol, Nitai Gora Haribol.